Welcome to this installment of Kosher Titbits. Today we shall talk on a subject that is both important and relevant, and yet is not as widely known as it ought to be, and is even less understood. The subject to which I refer is the issue of daily breads. Generally, if you produce a product using kosher ingredients that do not involve the mixing of milk and meat, on equipment the kosher status of which has never been compromised, the product will be kosher. However, there are some products which have additional requirements in order to be certified as kosher. Cheese and wine are two such examples which come readily to mind. Bread is a third such example. Bread to be kosher certifiable must be pariv. That is, it cannot contain any dairy or meat ingredients. If it does, its kosher status is compromised, and it cannot be certified as kosher, even if all the ingredients used are kosher. This is based upon a decree promulgated by the rabbis of the Talmud. The reason for the decree is quite clear. Of the foods we have, bread surely has a unique status. It occupies a place of importance at every meal, whether meat or dairy. Typically, a loaf of bread will not be consumed at one meal setting, but some of it will be left over for the next meal. Thus, a bread which was used at a dairy lunch could later be used at a meat dinner. To allow bread that is not pariv would create an extremely complex situation in the domestic setting, and would in all likelihood lead to kashrut violations, such as a dairy bread being used at a meat meal. The logic of this rabbinic prohibition cannot be gainsaid. Let us attempt to understand the parameters of this prohibition. There is a significant halachic opinion that in light of this rabbinic prohibition, dairy bread attains the status of non-kosher food and would negate the kosher status of equipment on which it is produced. Thus, kosher para bread could not be produced on the same equipment as is used for dairy bread. Many of the listeners will be familiar with the concept of betel, nullification of a non-kosher ingredient. Broadly stated, if a non-kosher ingredient falls into a mixture in a proportion that equals less than 1/60th of the volume of the mixture, the non-kosher ingredient is nullified and may be ignored. However, even if the quantity of dairy ingredients in a bread is less than 1/60th of the volume of the dough, the bread remains prohibited. This is because the dairy component was intentionally added and is an integral part of the formula. In such circumstances, the laws of nullification do not apply. The Talmud notes that if the dairy bread is made ke'ein turah, to use the Aramaic phrase, it is permitted. There is a dispute among the commentators as to the meaning of the phrase ke'ein turah. The first, which is the opinion of Rashi, is that the phrase means of small size. If the loaf of bread is made to be eaten at one meal, and nothing will be left over, the bread roll would be permitted. As it will be consumed immediately, in its entirety, we need not be concerned that a member of the family will forget its dairy status. The Rambam Maimonides offers a different explanation. He explains the phrase to mean of a different shape. Thus, if the dough is baked into a unique shape, the shape itself would be a reminder of the dairy status of the bread and will safeguard against its usage at a meat meal. Included in this category are breads that have a very visible topping that is clearly dairy, such as a pizza which has a cheese topping that is quite visible and cannot conceivably be overlooked. It must be emphasized, however, that a bread dough that is dairy cannot be baked in the normal manner with the intention of cutting it into a special shape or of adding a dairy topping afterwards. The dairy bread becomes prohibited as soon as it is baked. Therefore, bread intended to be used to make French toast or bagels intended to be used in the making of pizza must be made parav, even though they will finally be eaten as dairy products. It should be noted that both explanations of Kein Turah are accepted by the halakha, and if either is applicable, the bread is acceptable. In today's world, the existence of bread mixers has become quite popular. They are a boon to those who value the taste of home-baked bread, but have not the time or the inclination to become involved in the long and laborious process of making breads from scratch. Now, it is quite possible that one could bake a dairy bread mixture in such a manner that it would be permitted. It could be made into uniquely shaped bread or baked with a quite visible dairy topping. One could even add ingredients and flavorings which would give it a cake-like texture and taste. However, the policy of the Orthodox Union is not to certify dairy bread mixers at all, as normally they would be baked in a manner that would leave the breads prohibited. The existence of certified kosher bread mixers would thus facilitate the baking and usage of breads that are not kosher certifiable. The days when the choice of breads was limited to white, rye, or pumpernickel are long gone. There is an enormous range of breads available in the average neighborhood supermarket, and many of these may well contain some dairy ingredients. The typical industrial bakery is an enormous complex with several lines for the preparation and baking of breads. It is thus quite possible for many bakeries to produce a range of dairy breads without impacting on the paraf status of the other breads they produce. The lesson of this is most important. Do not rely on brand recognition. The particular bread you plan to buy may well be dairy. Always look for the symbol indicating reliable kosher certification. A dairy bread may indicate KD. At most, that tells you that the ingredients used are kosher. But the end product is not, and hence it lacks the symbol indicating rabbinically certified kosher status. I well recall that a decade and more ago, I would receive several phone calls each week, questioning and querying the status of dairy breads. The level of queries on this issue has dropped tremendously, and I believe that this is because our efforts at educating the consumer in these laws and practices are paying off. These efforts continue unabated, and will, it is to be hoped, achieve even greater levels of success. There is a beautiful verse in Proverbs chapter 30 that I would like to quote in conclusion. King Solomon, the wisest of all men, cries out to God, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me lechem chuki." What is meant by the phrase lechem chuki, which literally means legal bread? Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra, the great medieval commentator, interprets it as meaning bread that will sustain the soul. A truly lofty goal that transcends the temptation to falsehood and half-truth that is endemic to the material world. The simple laws we have outlined in today's talk help us to achieve no less than this formidable yet essential goal, to sustain the soul. This is Rabbi Yerachmiel Morrison, and it has been my pleasure to share these words of Torah with you. Thank you and good day.